Africa is for Africans. Asia is for Asians. White countries are for everybody. This is a violation of the United Nations Convention Against Genocide.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Non-stop. Non-stop.
Fact of the matter is, the UK is never going to be white again.
The biggest genocide in human history.
They can shoot us, but they can't refute us. It's the Fight White Genocide Podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff.
And they'll never mute us. Welcome to the Fight White Genocide Podcast, where we talk about whatever we think is important in the global struggle against white genocide. This is podcast number 9, recorded April 11th, 2019. Today's topic is the House Judiciary Committee Anti-White Inquisition, Part 1. How you doing, Laura?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you? How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Doing good. Great topic today.
I could tell when Nadler was reading your quote, he didn't like reading it. He didn't know what he was reading. Like, somebody handed that to him, and he was reading it on the fly. And he's like, oh, yeah, this hate speech here. Somebody just said anti-hate is a code word for anti-white.
And did you notice how that they tied that together with the anti-Jew stuff? Like the Jew comment?
Yeah. I noticed that the author did that, but I don't know. The author has me wondering, like, is he a crypto white? Because he added, I mean,
yeah.
Me and Jeff were both on the chat. I don't know if you were, Laura, but I know he was there. One of my quotes was quoted on Vox.
That was great.
I misspelled it. Basically, I said, whites are never had a trial. This is a sentencing hearing. White people never had a trial or a conviction. And Vox quoted that, except I misspelled trial. I left out the T. So it's not very aesthetic, but hey, it's something I would imagine most people.
I think anybody would still get that. But right as I was doing my first comment, it had shut the comment sections off. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, I got a couple in there. In fact, I did type in. I put in there Fight White Genocide, capital letters.
Right. Yeah, and Jeff did some great ones as well. Jeff actually got the notice saying, stop, you're posting too much.
The author of that was at Washington Times, I think. He put that in there. But there were so many other things he could have put in his article that would fall under hate speech. But he chose what Jeff put up there.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder.
And he also put Fight White Genocide.
Which was amazing.
Yes. Yes.
And you can see that Nadler, he had that on his sheet too. But he chose to redact the name.
I think the only mention of white genocide came from the ADL. And she mentioned it like twice. There's all kinds of drops here. Like that one lady from the civil rights lawyer group, she was saying that she brought up the site, It's Okay to Be White, or the Facebook page, and crying that it wasn't shut down. Did you see that?
I think so, yeah.
She was mad that a Facebook page called It's Okay to Be White was not shut down.
Yeah.
And did you see that there was a leaked letter to Facebook from her group, the civil rights lawyers? Mm-hmm. And I put it on in the folder. I don't know if you guys read it, but they're attempting to explain why white nationalism and white supremacy are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their pitch to Facebook. And I guess that was Facebook's final straw, where they said, okay, yeah, we're going to ban it now.
They were one of the experts.
Yes. Yeah. There were 20 experts. There were 10 in that letter.
There's been multiple cases of that now, where I think I've seen articles, or there was another case where they were trying to prove that it's the same thing. Oh, it was on a news report on the TV. I was watching something, and the guy there making the claim, he's like, you know, white separatism, white nationalism, white supremacy, they're all the same thing. And I was like, man, in the same sentence, you've just claimed that separatism and supremacy is the same when they're totally opposite. I mean, how can you have supremacy and separatism at the same time? If someone wants to be separate, how can they be supremacist?
Well, the argument that the civil rights group was saying is that Board versus Education said white supremacy is simply the feeling that non-whites are inferior to whites. That's all it is. Not about ruling over any other group. So they go by that definition. Then
every anti-white meets that definition.
Right. Exactly. I mean, they've never
How do you mean, Jeff?
They think that non-whites are blameless animals that white people have to take care of like pets.
Right. Yes, they do. I mean, I don't know a nice way to put that. Like a way, but yeah. This is a point. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's because, of course, they're going to say, oh, well, Jeff just called black people animals, like they did with me. Like when I said that on John Fugelsang show, essentially the same thing. They said, oh, you're referring to non-whites as animals. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm referring to the fact that you actually treat them and think of them as animals.
We need a way to word that they can't wriggle out of. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you kind of have to bring up animals because that's how they. Number one, it's a bit of a shocking way to put it, but it's fucking true.
Yeah, well, that's how Bob said it, right? He did say it that way. So, and I think the blameless is also the key word there. You know that they're not responsible for their actions. You know, that white it's all white people's fault for everything that they do.
I kind of figured a good way to introduce that is rather than right off the bat saying, oh, you treat them like blameless animals, say they think of them as like a squirrel or an elephant or a giraffe or any other kind of blameless animal. That way you're kind of leading them into it and the blow is kind of soft.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's still there.
Well, I think it goes hand in hand with that point then about supremacy. You know, well, what is that one about how what a supremacist take that you think that white people have to bring in all these people to take care of them? You know,
we need a way to question them about that when they say, oh, well, you're a white nationalist, therefore you're a white supremacist because you want to separate from non-whites. I mean, and the mantra way of responding to that is saying, well, are Tibetans the Tibetan supremacists because they want to have their own self-determination? I guess that's a mantra way of doing it. But
is the Fish and Wildlife Service supremacists for wanting to keep spotted owls?
Okay, you know what's strange? There was a Senate hearing yesterday. I don't know if I told you guys this, with Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. They had another one on free speech yesterday. This was the Senate. And somebody asked Facebook, like, is it hate speech if somebody says that they want to preserve, like, a certain type of fish or animal?
No way. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lady who asked the guy from Facebook that, and he said no. She said, okay. And then she moved on to another question where she's asking similar kind of questions. But that one in particular kind of made me, threw up a red flag with me. Ted Cruz was telling Twitter and Facebook that the government could take Twitter and Facebook to court for fraud because they are claiming to be an open arena for free speech when they're clearly not.
Okay. Right.
But he also listed two other ways that they could go after them. I forget the other one. Antitrust law was another one. And he told him directly. But essentially, the hearing at the Senate with Facebook and Twitter, the Republicans there were saying exactly what they should have been saying at the white supremacist trial at the hearing. I call it a trial, wasn't it? The sentencing hearing.
Well, yeah, I mean that's interesting. Then, if they're letting them know, I think this is very much where where they're on a fine line. You know, I saw something about that they're waiting, you know, that they were hoping that, the you know, Congress or Senate would pass some sort of law to tell Facebook what they can and can't post. You know, I think that was sort of, was that what they were trying to get at with that, you know, white nationalist hearing the other day, that they're hoping that the government will tell them, you know, what's okay and what's not okay.
Well, so that's exactly what the Facebook founder said he wanted.
Yes, that's what his
letter.
Yeah, he said he should have no obligation to set these kind of rules. It should be the government that determines what.
Right, because they're in a fine line, like you say, that Senate hearing, that they are being put on notice that they could be charged with fraud or. You know, these antitrust laws that you mentioned. So it is, you know, I think that there's, it's very interesting. It's interesting times, right, guys? I mean, we are pushing forward, and especially for the fact that our message, and that's why the white genocide message is so important, because it points to the crime. You know, this, and as you said, that you started off at the start there, Ken, saying about, oh, they're happy for us to talk, you know, they're happy for anybody to talk about anything else, replacement or Jews or anything, because it doesn't charge them with the crime.
It doesn't send them on the defense.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're not sending them on the defense, you're doing something wrong. Yeah. And I think that's good that Candace Owens was trying to go on offense. Unfortunately, it didn't put the Democrats on defense at all.
No.
Because she wasn't really accusing them of much, but we would be. If any of us three had an opening statement at that hearing, that entire hearing would have went in a complete opposite direction.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, a lot of pro-whites, if they would have gone there, it would not have went in an opposite direction, because too many pro-whites would have sat there and tried to defend the right for white people to merely exist, and try to justify our existence, and it would have been 3 hours of that.
That's it.
And they would, in the left, the Democrats would have stayed on offense, and that pro-white would have been on defense the entire time.
That's it. Isn't there a quote from Bob about that? Something about the moment you have to justify your freedom, you've already lost it, or something.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the moment you find yourself on defense, you're doing something wrong. You got to get out of it. It's basically like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You're looking for a way out of being in a defensive position every time. That should be your number one goal, getting back to being on an offensive position.
Mm. And that's why I think, you know, that's exactly the point of, it's not okay to be anti-white. You know, that's the mindset that we have to get people thinking in.
Mm-hmm. There's some things Bob said. My individual point of view tells me what I want. I never try to justify survival or freedom. Mm-hmm. Words are a means for me to obtain what I want. The minute you let someone use words to tell you what you want, you become a slave.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Solzhenitsyn is a Russian because he is a Russian. He keeps emphasizing how those who had to justify their feelings of loyalty and decency could not stand up to a Marxist state. The second you start justifying yourself to a wordist, you become weak. No matter how strongly you feel about your particular faith and your particular set of words, the wordist is now judge and jury. When they ask us, whites, why are you concerned about your people disappearing, our response is to dry. Our response is to try to justify our concern about our group's survival. The question for any other people would bring a person under suspicion of genocide. Call them on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Exactly. You know, that last bit, call them on it. You know, that is exactly it. We need to call these people out.
Yeah. If you are going to go on the defensive of trying to defend the right for white people to exist, you at the very least need to point out that this would never be required of any other race. And if they were talking about another race, everybody would just assume that's a genocidal person, because they would be. If they're asking somebody to justify their existence, I mean, much more genocidal can you get?
That's it. That's that, you know, in the mantra, it says, you know, what sane, you know, black man wouldn't, you know, object to it. And And I think that's, you know, it's okay for every other race, but not the white race.
Yeah, we're not under obligation to justify any of our basic rights. You don't question for any other group. We're not under any obligation to justify our right to exist, our right to self-determination, our right to homelands. We have those rights. Are you saying we don't?
Yeah. They should be justifying why they think white people should have no right to self-determination.
Yeah, and only white people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's basically what this whole hearing was an attempt to do.
Yeah.
Saying pro-whiteism is somehow uniquely evil.
You don't.
And uniquely inciting a violence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You just said that you know, that they're proving the point that whites don't have rights. That that
there is a war on whites, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so and much for white privilege. I didn't see any white privilege at that. I didn't see a white person being allowed.
I didn't see a white person on that panel.
There was zero defense, let alone offense.
There was
for
no
whites.
Opposition. That's it. It was like you guys have said, it was just a trial and sentence.
Yeah, it was no trial, just sentence.
Just straight sentence.
Right. Yeah, we weren't allowed to speak.
No.
And he said, Nadler, in his opening remarks, said, "I did not call this hearing so that some may provide the very messages we need to combat." Well, you're not going to combat them if you can't even
acknowledge.
If you're not even let them heard. You know, you don't want to combat them. You just want to muzzle them, censor them.
You can't combat them.
Well, that's
if you could combat them, you would.
Exactly. They would allow it, but that's the whole proposition, that they cannot allow any discussion on this because it's the truth. You know, it's what is happening. It is blatantly obvious, and therefore they just cannot. They have to censor. I mean, actually, Time for Freedom had written in our Twitter chat. And he was saying that a lot of his comments off of that Washington Post article, you know, he was swarming on there, and they had removed the majority of his comments on there. So anything pointing out diversity is white genocide, or diversity is chasing down white people, they're just removing and not allowing them.
Yeah, not even trying to refute it, because they can't.
They can't. No.
So if anybody out there is on the fence, well, Who's desiring of free speech, and who is desiring of censorship? Which one of those two groups are you going to believe?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, you said that. You know, that a required truth.
Anything governments require you to believe must be a lie. Mm. Anything governments require you to disbelieve must be true.
Exactly.
If it wasn't a lie, why would they require you to believe it? Why would they pass laws saying you have to believe it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's just true, you know, it's just people accept it. It's true. Most people do.
Yeah. They don't need a law about believing the Titanic.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's people that question it, but they don't need a law for it.
You know, who was the one congressman that brought up free speech?
McClintock. Trust me. I'm remembering these people who said, who was, you know, somewhat genuine, and who was just there, you know, might as well not have been there. And pretty much McClintock was the only one there that was defending free speech at all. Everybody else is up there saying, "Oh, well, white nationalism is
bad."
Yeah, including the Republicans.
What state's he from?
Collins, Georgia.
No, the one that Ken just mentioned.
I think California, actually.
I think, you know, from our perspective, this event was a huge success. I think what we managed to get, the publicity that we got, especially on The Daily Show, that clip was just fantastic. I mean, you can't buy publicity like that. Not with us.
We can't. We have a nationwide ban. Yeah.
We can't.
Yeah, 4th District of California.
Okay, crazy.
Who's that?
The guy that spoke about free speech.
McClintock.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was McClintock. That's a very MacGyver-esque name.
Yeah.
So sounds like a TV show. It should be running after Law and Order or something. But
I wonder. Here. So what was
here? I got the clip here.
Listening to the testimony and the questions, it strikes me that perhaps both sides are losing a perspective of why we have a First Amendment. It's because the freedom to speak our minds is absolutely essential to a free society. Jefferson said, error of opinion may be tolerated where reason is free to combat it. Speech can be ugly, disgusting, hateful, prejudiced, and alarming. But it can never be dangerous to a free society as long as men and women of goodwill have the freedom of speech to dispute it, challenge it, and reject it. Suppressing speech, even the most hate-filled speech, doesn't diminish its influence, it strengthens it. I think Churchill made this point very clearly when he said, it is the very conflict of spiritual and moral ideas which gives the free countries a great part of their strength. You see these dictators on their pedestals, surrounded by the bayonets of their soldiers and the truncheons of their police, yet in their hearts there is unspoken fear. They are afraid of words and thoughts. Words spoken abroad, thoughts stirring at home, all the more powerful because forbidden, terrify them. A little mouse of thought enters the room and even the mightiest potentates are thrown into panic. Then he goes on to say, a state of society where men may not speak their minds, where children denounce their parents to the police, where a businessman or small shopkeeper ruins his competitor by telling tales about his private opinions, such a state of society cannot long endure if brought into contact with the healthy outside world. Free societies don't punish words and thoughts, they punish deeds. And the reason for that is because words and thoughts can be countered by words and thoughts. That's why we have a First Amendment. And what we're seeing across the world today is that it is a very slippery slope between banning hate speech and banning speech we just hate. We've seen many examples, even in our own country recently, of legitimate speech being suppressed on college campuses, on social media platforms, and even in public discourse. Now, if there's an ideology that we don't like, the weakest thing that we can do is try to forbid it or suppress it. The strongest thing we can do is to use our own freedom of speech to confront it and defeat it on its merits. If we allow our society to become one where men and women may not speak their minds, as Churchill said, we'll have lost the very quality that he said gives free countries a great part of their strength. As Churchill said, these ideologies cannot long endure if brought into contact with the healthy outside world, but that in turn requires unrestricted freedom of speech, precisely the freedom that's protected by our First Amendment. Now, we've made very limited exceptions when speech becomes explicit incitement to do violence or to falsely defame an individual's reputation. But even in the case of defamation, the truth is always an absolute defense. What we're hearing now is something fundamentally different. It's to set up government or corporate officials to decide what speech is acceptable and what is not. And that is a very dangerous power that can quickly be abused. Today, a great deal of public discourse is conducted on social media, major platforms like Google and Facebook that are here today. We have granted them legal immunity from the content of their platforms under the assumption that they're merely providing a public square and that those who use it should be held accountable for their own statements. This is appropriate as long as these platforms are not practicing any form of censorship or favoritism, other than, of course, censoring explicit incitement to violence. We're discovering, however, they're indeed practicing censorship and political favoritism. This is their right as private corporations, but once they begin to practice censorship and political favoritism, they cease to be neutral platforms and instead become publishers who are responsible for their content and subject to action for incitement or defamation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congressman Tom McClintock, 4th yeah. District of California. And yeah, everything he said there is correct. And yeah,
everything there was spot on.
What he didn't mention is that free speech and diversity are incompatible.
That's about the only thing he didn't mention. I mean,
well, the fact that the
truth is no defense. I mean, did you hear that little?
Yep.
Yep. Truth is no defense. And the only people who are being censored, you know, there is only specific groups who are being censored, and it's pro-whites. You know, we're the most targeted group.
By far, no one is oppressed, more censored than pro-whites in the world.
out of that 3.5 hour hearing, though, that 3 minute clip right there is the best out of all of it. It's the only thing where you just go through and everything's right. Everything's correct. And it's what all of these other Republican, the GOP congressmen that were there, they should have been talking about, and they failed to do so.
And he was the only one, and the rest of the hearing, you know, he might as well not have ever said it. They didn't react to it at all. They didn't even try to. The whole rest of the hearing was an attempt to justify censoring pro-white speech.
Now, I will say Candace Owens did briefly.
I was about to say, you know, kind of she also brought up the fact that it's a tactic for the left, you know, to gain power or to regain power, the power that they've lost, you know, that they are seeing this as a need to take back power, to control, you know, control minds. And but exactly what that congressman just said then is, you know, that the it's the thoughts, it's the ability to ask questions and generate thinking. You know, when you stop people thinking or asking questions, it leads to stagnation.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Chinese are having issues with, like, you know, development there, artistic development, is because they have a culture of monothink. The Soviet Union had the same problem. When everybody's groupthink, you don't have creativity. Creativity is frowned upon.
Yeah,
if you're in an environment where if you say the wrong thing, you can get thrown in jail. Yeah,
that
does tend to stifle free thought. Yeah,
yeah, creativity, absolutely.
That's why you never heard of a band out of the Soviet Union. There's not a single one that anybody can name.
It was interesting.
Candace also said they should hold hearings on Antifa. Yeah, yeah. They're the ones that are using violence to suppress speech.
Candace, yeah. That was brilliant from her, that she pointed out that, and she used her platform, you know, I mean, it's great, you know, she's speaking, she's wanting to speak for her people, a spokesperson for her people. That's, you know, that's great. And we need the same. We need a spokesperson for our people, the ability to speak for our people.
And I don't think our spokesman is going to be Candace Owens, but I appreciate some of the things she said there. Some of it was good. Very good. And others of it were not so good. Yeah. And again, I think Nadler did not know what he was about to read. I think he was handed a piece of paper. And if he had read that prior, he would not have read
that.
I don't think he would have wanted the statement anti-hate is a code word for anti-white to come out of
his mouth. I love that image you've done too, Ken. That's really great.
Well, yeah, it's a true quote from Nadler.
Here it is.
Anti-hate is a code word for anti-white.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Exactly.
If I see him, I'm going to ask him if he stands by his quote.
His quote. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, you know, what would be funny is take that, what was that Asian representative? He held up his phone and put a quote from Candace Owens about Hitler. But edit that video and then have the quote being from Nadler that anti-hate is a code word for anti-white.
Yeah. No, it certainly produced a lot for us there, and I think it's certainly it's showing, you know, they're showing their hand and that how anti-white they are.
Yeah, I mean,
here's Trevor Noah promoting our one of our hashtags.
#WhiteGenocide.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Trevor.
That blew me away. That whole little clip there of Nadler saying the meme, and then I would never have thought that was coming towards the end of that little clip. There was no way that I thought that he would have said #WhiteGenocide.
I could have swore from New York Times article that it hadn't caught on. Yeah. Why would he say that? Nobody knows what that is.
Oh, yeah. Aren't we all just fringe nobodies in our mother's basements?
Yeah, exactly.
That nobody believes. Yeah. Right. One minute they say that, and then the next minute they say we're this huge threat that everybody's recruiting, you know. Okay, well maybe they're recruiting because for a good reason, huh? Maybe they because we're telling the truth, huh?
Yeah.
No, the best recruiting tool we have are these kind of hearings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm actively recruiting people. I do this podcast and go to the website and speak the truth. I'm not actively going around trying to recruit people like a Air Force personnel or something like that.
Exactly.
What happens is we speak the truth and it's controversial, but people take it in. A lot of what we say is kind of shocking, but it stays in their mind. And they will see anti-whites proving what we say to be 100% true. It's the anti-whites that are the biggest recruiters. And they don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember, we put out these talking points. You know, it's like planting seeds.
Right.
Some of them sprout, some of them don't. Some get eaten by birds, you know, just like Jesus said. Yep. Some of them fall on infertile ground, but some of them grow. And some of them grow and... you know, produce a thousandfold. Mm-hmm. We can't guarantee when we put this stuff out what's going to happen. But when we do, the more we do know, the more we do, the more better things will happen.
Mm-hmm. We have to keep planting seeds. So
that's it. And I mean, I think that's what's most interesting, right? With that meme, that was picked up. That was the meme. I mean, like we stated at the start, they had a number of memes that they or of comments any. You know, Jewish comments or, you know, whatever that was on there. They could have used any of that.
Exactly.
They chose that meme. Yeah. You know, and that just, and then it's in articles. I mean, in Washington Post and the one that you've gotten on the Vox there, Ken, you know, is pointing out that the fact that this is just a straight sentencing. You know, it's so interesting that they're picking up these talking points. And I think, you know, why
they can't help it. We put these things out and they resonate with reality. You know, they resonate with people's experience. They can't not hear them. So the more we put them out, eventually it changes the way they think. And like the person in the Senate committee you mentioned, Ken, she'd probably heard our talking point. Maybe she didn't know where, but you know, it affected the way she thought and the way she approached her testimony.
Right. Exactly.
And then, you know, remember, non-whites are positively conditioned. I mean, I remember that Paul talk we had where two very hostile black people came on, and by the end of it, they were agreeing with us, you know, after about an hour and a half of just repeating our talking points.
Mm. Exactly. And that is the power, you know, that is the power with a consistent message. And because it's the truth. It's just simple truths and pointing it out and repeating it. And that's how the enemy has been so effective in conditioning us into hating ourselves, into white self-hatred.
Right. That's the problem. And that's the solution. Counter-propaganda. Well, I mean,
yeah. I mean, and I mean, a lot of what they say is just fraud about white people. But it doesn't matter as long as it's repetitive. It's being repeated over and over and over again in Hollywood and mass media and academia. You can make people believe anything. Like the phrase diversity is a strength. By no unit of measurement is diversity a strength.
Mm.
Total fraud. It's untrue, but they've got people repeating it and believing it just by mere repetition.
Yeah.
And it's a tenet of their faith of
yes.
The religion of political correctness, which shows that it is a religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, religious extremists don't debate their religion. I mean, that's the problem is that, you know, this was basically a religious hearing with Congress is that, you know, it's blasphemy and there's no trial, no conviction. We're just straight to sentencing.
Right. It's return of the Inquisition.
Right. That's exactly right. That's what it was. You said that before the trial even or the hearing even started this is just Inquisition and that's what it was.
Mm. Yeah, we can't mount a defense.
And there's going to be people that come along and pick up what we're saying and, you know, run with it and we'll be much better than any of us here. And, that you know, they could be a spokesman as well. So it's just a matter of getting on the terminology, on the on the points. And,
it's that thinking, you know, like you said, that woman said about the animal, you know, is it... So is it you know, what was that? You said it. Oh, is it not okay to post something about that they want the existence of an animal?
Yeah. That conservation or preservation of an animal, is that considered hate speech?
Hate speech.
Or is that, or I think she might ask, does that violate your terms of service?
Community
standards, whatever it is.
Well, and I mean, that's exactly.
And the look on his face after that, he's looking at her like, what happened just there? He did. He had a strange look. I'll find the clip for you. And
yeah, that's good. Let's grab that. Yeah, that's because I mean that's like Jess said. You know, has she seen that thinking from something we've put out there? You know, that especially that Spotted Owl article. Yeah. You know, that's exactly.
Well, who else is saying that stuff?
Exactly.
Jared Taylor, I think, mentioned the Cuban crocodile. In a speech.
Oh, did he? Is that, yep. Well, I heard you talking about it before. It did. Was that before or after?
Yeah, that's where I got it.
Oh,
I
okay.
Got it from, I got it from Jared.
There you go. All right. Good said, for Jared
on that one. If we need to go to these extraordinary measures to save the Cuban crocodile, why not the white race?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the difference?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, they're interbreeding with the American crocodile. And we're, you know, people are trying to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to like these scientific publications and look into things about extinction through interbreeding. Mm-hmm. Just general search terms. You have to know how to search for it. And there's all kinds of publications about certain subspecies of animal being at threat of extinction due to interbreeding, and how we need to take steps to prevent their extinction. But when it comes to white kids, there's no discussion
there's no
on that.
There's no such thing as race.
Yeah. Yes. We all bleed red.
Yeah. I mean, there's only one crocodile.
Yeah.
Yes. Only one.
all forests belong to all birds, yes.
Right. What do you mean spotted owl? Define spotted owl.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we received another donation in the mail yesterday, and from an anonymous donor. So a huge thank you to that donor who sends us money in red paper. If that donor is listening to us, thank you for their contributions and support, and we certainly couldn't do what we're doing without their support. So thank you, and to all of our supporters who listen and support us and post out what we're doing and help spread the message about white genocide.
Thank you indeed.
Yeah.
Well, and to bring up a point here about why our method works is that Facebook didn't talk about banning anybody talking about racial IQs,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Jews or
black crime stats.
They didn't talk about banning any of that. Mm. They specifically was talking about white separatism,
mm-hmm.
White nationalism,
mm-hmm.
and Well, they call it white supremacy. They just want to tie it together.
They do,
but essentially what they're doing is just throwing in the phrase white supremacy as a scare tactic,
mm-hmm.
and trying to mesh it together as one. But
right.
They're worried about what they are worried about, and they don't want to say it. They're worried about the topic of white genocide spreading. That's what they're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we know our stuff is working. They're targeting our message.
Yes, yeah.
So they didn't hold this hearing because of people talking about crime stats or IQ or the Illuminati. Exactly. They held this hearing because our message is getting out and more people are using our techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have them on record.
Mm,
got huge publicity out of this. We can look back at this and use it against them. You know, we have to always use their words against them. Everything they say can be used against them. They've given us a lot of ammunition here, which we will use in the future. You know those movies where or TV shows where they're showing a trial, and they start the trial, and the lawyer jumps up and he starts objecting to the whole procedure. He says, well, you don't have jurisdiction, or I haven't had time to prepare. I don't have my witnesses here. Well, if I were here, I would say, you know, I would do that. I'd say, I object to this thing because we didn't have a chance to speak. I would object to this thing because this whole thing is an inquisition, and you are establishing the religion of political correctness, which is against the law. It's against the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Therefore, this whole procedure is illegal. It is illegitimate.
Yep. Separation of church and state.
They are trying
to impose a government mandated religion of political correctness onto everybody.
Yeah. Again, it's something that's required to be believed.
Yes. Yeah. You have to believe it. And if you don't, I mean, these are the values, quote unquote, of our country is under the religious guise of political correctness.
Yeah, all they have is a bunch of name calling. Supremacist.
Heathen.
Extremist.
Sinner.
Every political position that people hold today, generally, was once considered extremist.
That's it. We were talking about this the other day.
Just because it's extremist, so what? Doesn't mean anything.
But it was
gay marriage. Gay marriage was an extremist view 20 years ago.
It was considered extremist for women to vote, to be pushing for the right for women to vote, like 50 years ago or something. When did that start? But Bob wrote about that too. You know, that it was considered extremist for people to say that women had the right to vote. Probably
but is saying it's okay to be white extremist? Saying that you can't say that extremist?
Yeah, well, according to, was it Miss Clark from the Civil Rights Lawyers Commission, whatever, or something of that sort, she was very panicked about the page, It's Okay to Be White, being allowed to exist on Facebook at this hearing, at the sentencing hearing. She was extremely upset by that. I couldn't believe that was the page she picked out.
Well, she's demanding white self-hatred.
Yes.
She's saying it's not okay to be white.
Right. I mean, how much more blatant can it be when she's saying she wants a page called It's Okay to Be White to be shut down?
Like the person that saw our the government employee in West Virginia that saw our billboard, and he said he got upset, you know, he got physically sick, you know, when he said white self-hatred is sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, what kind of person would be sickened by that
statement? Yeah.
Only somebody that is highly brainwashed and anti-white would get sickened by a statement like that.
Right.
Or by a statement like, it's okay to be white.
But in a sane society, this entire sentencing hearing would be considered a hate crime.
Yeah, the whole thing was
hatred towards whites and denying their First Amendment right. And not only that, denying self-determination, human right, and, you know, all across the board. I mean, if there was any hate crime to be discussed that day, it was the one they were committing against white people.
Do we want to go into their statistics?
Which ones? I mean,
well, all the shootings they talked about, they claimed that 90% of, or something is from white supremacists.
Yeah, domestic. Some,
well, I mean,
nonsense.
There was a study done. I mean, if we want to talk about this at all, and we don't really need to go into it into depth, but over the last 10 years of violence, extremism in Western civilization, the vast majority of the deaths were done by anti-white groups, whether they be it anti-fascist or pro-black, or rather black identity extremists, whatever you want to call it, or Islamic extremists. I mean, it's not even close when you tally up the amount of deaths caused by anti-white groups within white countries. So, I mean, and the important thing here is that it's white people are not going to Yemen and shooting up churches there. They're not going to Uganda and shooting up, you know, black businesses or anything like that. White people that are committing these crimes are essentially responding to massive amounts of violence and suppression being targeted at white people in their own countries. And the root of all of this is forced diversity.
Yeah.
That is the root of the problem. Like
it's, you know, we're suppressed. We're forced diversity. We're forced to become a minority in our own homelands. And then we are suppressed and censored when we oppose it. And exactly. And the only option then that people can take is violent reaction.
I mean, that's just a huge recipe for violence. I mean, and I would think that leaders in the House of Representatives would be smart enough to understand something that simple, that what they are doing with the forced diversity and the forced suppression is going to likely create violence.
Yeah, they want more violence.
It so almost
they can just to try to justify more suppression.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
that's it. And that's what we've seen with New Zealand, right? That's what they're using to justify more suppression. Exactly, more censorship. That's what. Yeah.
They say they're against violence, but anybody who is for censorship wants violence. The more censorship you want, the more violence you want.
And oddly enough, the day before the hearing, a man was arrested for plotting to run over people with a U-Haul truck. And anti-white was arrested for a terrorism plot just one day before that hearing.
Yeah, they
no mention of
that. Somebody told the FBI, you know, you better shut this one down because we're going to hold a hearing on white nationalist violence. So this Muslim violence would make us look kind of stupid.
Yeah. doesn't roll with our narrative.
So of all the ones out there that you're monitoring, pick this one, pick this guy up. The other ones you can let go, you know. The ones you can, when the time you can let them kill all the white people they want. But this one you better stop.
Yeah, because he just rented a U-Haul, so it looks like he might have been getting ready to go about his terrorism campaign. So yeah, had to arrest him.
How racist!
To make sure that whole white that whole white nationalist thing. Make sure that's the core issue here.
The core focus. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And this story about this anti-white plotting terrorism in D.C. It wasn't picked up by many national news outlets. It was more of a local thing.
Yeah. Yep. Doesn't go with their, you know, anti-white narrative.
Tucker pretty much cucked on the whole hearing.
He did.
he was worshiping multiracialism.
Oh, he did?
I think he is basically on the ropes right now, and they're thinking about replacing him with Ben Shapiro.
Oh my gosh. Oh, he's gross. He's even worse.
Oh God, yeah. Ben Shapiro will, yeah.
That's more proof that it's not about money, you know. Isn't he the most popular person on television?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he is. And the advertisers who left. Well, that just proves the point even more, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the advertisers should be one to be on the most popular shows, I think, get the most advertising.
Yeah, it's not big money that controls it. It's big anti-white, as you pointed out before. My question is, why get rid of Tucker? He's got more views. I mean, right now his ratings are higher than all of CNN combined. Every show on CNN combined, he gets more viewers than all of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Why would you get rid of him?
Yeah.
Why not take somebody else? I mean, there's other people on there that are not doing nearly as good as him. Why, if you're going to put in, you know, a neocon like Shapiro, why take out Tucker to do that?
Well, I think that's exactly what Jeff said. You know, that's it. It's not about money or the ratings or whatever. They're obviously not not agreeing that with the platform that he's
the narrative. Yep.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that he's pushing
now, and Disney owns him, and Paul Ryan's up there. Yeah, I mean, that place is just a wreck waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's gonna. Yeah.
How about we can start playing Nadler's opening remarks?
Yep. Yeah, let's get started with Nadler's remarks and quoting our meme, anti-hate is a code word for anti-white, in the judiciary hearing.
The Judiciary Committee will come to order. Without objection, the chair is authorized to declare recesses of the committee at any time. We welcome everyone to today's hearing on hate crimes and the rise of white nationalism. I will now recognize myself for an opening statement. Today, the Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing that I wish we did not have to conduct.
Me too. I wish you had never started the war on whites. I wish you'd never passed the 1965 Immigration Act.
I wish that we had a place at the table to defend ourselves. If they were holding it.
You know, to the extent there's interracial animosity and conflict, it's because of you anti-whites. We were always against it. We were always against multiracialism. Source of all these problems is multiracialism. We're against it. You're for it. You're for conflict.
Which is sadly necessary to examine an urgent crisis.
Urgent crisis. Why? Well, for you, I thought we were fringe nobodies in our mother's basements. Now we're a threat to national security. Why? Yeah. Because some people might believe us.
Yeah.
See, exactly. These people know the power of words. They know their power is built on a bunch of lies. They know the truth can't get out. So who are the liars? The people calling for open discussion like us? Or the people calling for censorship like Chairman Nadler?
In our country, we will consider issues relating to hate crimes and the rise of white nationalism. This topic goes to the heart of our country's longstanding struggle to carry out what the preamble to our Constitution as it is designed to do, to form a more perfect union.
Yeah, for white people, for ourselves and our posterity.
He mentions the preamble. Exactly, right. For ourselves and our posterity. It was for white people, a more perfect union between white people.
Yeah, you'll see he leaves out the posterity part.
Yeah.
So whenever one of these anti-whites talks about the founding fathers or the Constitution or the founding of America or the purpose of America, if they say it was founded as anything but a white homeland by white nationalists, call them out on it. Do not let them get away with mischaracterizing what America was founded on. Mm-hmm. When we became a propositional state, that was a huge step backwards. The most important thing we can do to create a more perfect union is to go back to our nationalist roots. He's proving that we can't even have free speech. How is that more perfect?
Yeah, he's stating that it is an imperfect union. You know, that multiculturalism isn't working. You know, it is imperfect. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. The First Amendment was a mistake.
Censoring anyone who speaks out against it.
Censoring all people who they've redefined what America is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a propositional state now where all men are created equal, and they have to enforce that proposition by censoring anything that would question it.
Hate incidents target victims based on their actual or perceived race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, or other immutable characteristics.
Perceived. All right.
I was going to mention that.
So you're just perceiving that we're white. We have white privilege, or what? Are you just this is only a perception, or when you say we have white privilege, is that what you're saying?
Mm.
White supremacy and white nationalism is his perception.
It's you're just perceiving. He's that.
Right.
they have no idea problem identifying, you know, who's white and non-white when they say, well, white stole America, or when they blame all the world's problems on white people. Or when they treat non-whites like blameless animals. Is that just a perception, or is that reality?
Yeah.
Some of these incidents may be crimes, and some are not. But all of them harm not only individuals, but also our communities, and ultimately, our entire nation. Unfortunately, various statistics confirm what most of us have observed, that hate incidents are increasing in the United States.
Yeah, as we predicted. Yes. More multiculturalism, more multiracialism you get, the more conflict you get. We are against it. You are for it.
That's it.
You said it would all be wonderful. We'd all be holding hands and dancing, you know, dancing around a circle. Leftist predictions never come true. The more multiracial you get, the more conflict you get. They're causing all these problems, and then they're trying to blame us for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So our communities and ultimately our entire nation. Unfortunately, various statistics confirm what most of us have observed, that hate incidents are increasing in the United States. Although reporting of hate crimes to the FBI by the states is woefully incomplete, what we do know is that these statistics have been on the rise in recent years, with hate crimes surging 20% last year and the plurality of these crimes, 29%, being motivated by anti-Black bias. The American public can sense this reality.
Well, they can. The white people are sensing they're being attacked, yeah. Most of the hate in this country is against white people. Most of the violence is against white people. So what is he talking about?
Well, I think, that was an interesting point that Candace brought up there about how they're just changing the parameters. You know, so the statistics that they claim, you know, are on the rise, well, they're just changing the parameters to make these, you know, statistics work for them. I mean, it's how much, you know, are we seeing that, as you say, the attack on white people and, you know, look at the Covington Church. Look at that. You know, that is an example of total hatred against whites.
Well, another question is, I mean, what kind of hate crimes? Are we talking about alleged crimes?
Exactly.
Are we talking about convictions? Let's look at the convictions. Let's not deal with hypothetical.
Exactly.
And we all know there's a lot of small letting going around. So let's just deal with what convictions they have. Have they gone up?
Exactly. That's what I think that was an interesting point for her, that Candace to make, was that, you know, that it is, you know, what, where are these statistics coming from? What are they basing these statistics off of? You know, Bob wrote about that in Why Johnny Can't Think, about the gun, you know, that they would say they used to, anti-guns would always bring up that statistics. Oh, you're more likely to have a gun, if you carry a gun, you're going to have it turned on yourself than if you can defend yourself with it or something, you know. And then there was several police officers that got together and stated that was just total BS, you know, that these statistics that they were trying to use were just false. You know, they falsified them. The parameters that they used to gain these statistics weren't the way that they were putting out these statements, you know. And it's the same with NADLA, you know. Yeah.
Is all this polar bear hunting included in these statistics?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just it. Whites are not included in
that. When a Black attacks a white, because he's white, they just don't include it in the statistics.
Mm. Right.
That's not considered a hate crime.
Exactly. It's not considered a hate crime. Look at those three Blacks that attacked that disabled kid. You know, that wasn't determined as a hate crime. It's it is, again, you know, their parameters that they're using for these is anti-white.
I mean, there's so much black on white violence, it amounts to terrorism in this country.
Yeah. We could just sum it all up that what they're basing this on is the usual fraud and deception. We all know it.
That's
Why
it.
Would this be any different than all the other things that they've said, that they've come out with, that have turned out to be total fraud and deception?
Yeah.
Total lies.
Yeah. Who are you going to believe?
Poll conducted by the Communities Against Hate Initiative showed that 84% of individuals believe that hate incidents are very or somewhat prevalent in this country, and 66% believe that such incidents or expressions of hate are growing worse. This increase has occurred during a disturbing rise of white nationalism in our country and across the globe.
Well,
correlation is causation.
We talked about this as well, you know, this belief in these rise in hate crimes. Well, they report on all these hate hoaxes as blaming white people, and then it turns out to be black people or non-whites, and then they're never corrected.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I guarantee those are part of the what they're including here.
Right,
it's just allegations and police reports that are filed, And a lot of them end up becoming hoaxes. We know that they're documented by local news agencies. It turns out that a lot of these end up being completely fabricated.
Yeah.
But these are still included in their statistics. Guaranteed.
Yeah. It should be put into on the Annie White column.
Exactly.
Right.
Because it's an Annie White hate crime.
Exactly. Yeah.
Slander. But if I guess yeah, white people are starting to realize they're under attack and they're starting to react. And if you want to get rid of white people, I suppose that would be disturbing. Yeah.
And I would say that the rise of these quote unquote hate crimes are also directly correlated to the increase in diversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just as much as the increase in pro-white identitarianism, you could correlation is not causation. We can't prove that it's any more related to white nationalism than it is to the rise in diversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that when we got to know these non-whites and how wonderful they are, we'd accept them and everything. And once we got to know them, just the opposite has happened.
I'd suggest that to anti-whites. Maybe you need to go and meet some white people.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you need to meet some pro-whites. Yeah, see, we're really great people.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not evil.
Yeah, we're just like you.
We're just loyal to our own kind. You know, is that okay? What's wrong with it?
Mm.
The deadly 2017 Unite the Right white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, served as a frightening reminder of the threat white nationalism and hate groups pose to the United States.
Why? Well, there was a traffic accident. There was some pilot error. Well, what's the threat?
Mm.
The threat that we might feel off to be hurt, yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, Charlottesville is a lot like this. It's where white people were trying to organize to speak, have a public rally and speak their views. And then white people were attacked. And, you know, once whites started to defend themselves, they were labeled by the media as the people inciting violence.
Mm.
Totally ridiculous. Yeah. Total fraud and deception. I mean, once the real truth comes out about Charlottesville, it's basically the Covington Catholic story on steroids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who feels threatened? Does anyone feel threatened? Threatened of what? What do they think we're going to do? All they wanted to do was talk.
Peaceably assemble, and which is a constitutionally protected right by Americans, you know, that we should have the right to peaceably assemble. And they denied us that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They denied. I mean, they had all the permits and still the police denied them. They even went to court the day before and the judge said, no, they need to be allowed to speak. Mm-hmm. And they still denied. They went against the court order and denied white people the right to have it.
Yeah, they allowed the anti-whites to riot, and then they declared
an
unlawful assembly. Yeah,
because
on that basis, nothing that the pro-whites did.
Right, just merely existing was their problem.
But it is
that's all they did.
Violence that they used that threat of violence to shut down. And where is the police enforcing the law and their rights? So shutting down the other side. Why aren't they there protecting the group that is there to peaceably assemble and allow them their right? The same thing just happened in Australia with Senator Fraser. Anning? Is it Fraser Anning? Is that his name? Fraser Anning? He just did the same thing. He had a meeting on the Gold Coast in Queensland, and they, all the Antifa, the left in Queensland, gathered and threatened the hotel that was hosting them. And so the hotel, you know, and the police got involved. And then they had to say, oh, well, because of the threat of violence, we have to shut down this meeting. So, but why is the police not standing on the side of the people wanting to peaceably assemble? You know, they need to be.
Why aren't they arresting these thugs?
These thugs that are coming in and forcing silence and censoring just because they're threatening violence. Where is the charges against the threat of violence? Not the people that are wanting to peaceably assemble and have a discussion, you know?
They outsource censorship is what they do. This is how they get around the First Amendment. They say, well, we're not suppressing the speech. They just let this private group suppress the speech, and then they stand down and let it happen.
That's exactly it. And therefore they aren't there enforcing our rights. You know, if it was any other group that was wanting to peaceably assemble to speak about their topics, you know, that they if white people tried to show up and shut down a black group and try to threaten violence, do you really think that they would, you know, go, the police wouldn't attack and charge the white people who were threatening the violence? Like, it's absurd that
this happens on every campus, every university, every college. The same exact thing. The threat of violence from the left. The university, they say, they don't go to the police and give the police, you know, their evidence of these people. You know, they don't threat. They don't even threaten to expel these any of these people threatening violence.
Yeah.
They're going along with it because they want to censor left wing, right wing speech. So they should have their federal funds cut off. They should have their tax deductible status removed.
Yeah, exactly. And
they've been doing it for a long time, so they owe a lot of back taxes.
A lot of money.
No worry about the deficit anymore.
No.
Right.
Paying for that border wall would be pretty easy.
Yep. I think it's 30 feet tall.
Yeah, then Harvard alone would pay for a dozen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In just the last few years, the ideology of white supremacy.
Okay, there is no white supremacy, first of all.
It's pro-white perception. It's perceived.
Yeah, we don't want to supremacize anyone. Separation and supremacy are incompatible. And anyway, being loyal to your own kind is not an ideology anyway. Yeah, saying words cause violence, but only pro-white words.
Mm.
Whenever we bring up non-white violence against white people, they say we're inciting hate. So is Nadler inciting hatred of white people here?
Absolutely. He's labeling us, you know.
They attack us, and we just point it out, and then they say we're inciting hatred against the people that just attacked us.
Yeah, that's it. That's why they're anti-white, and they're slandering. They're using these hate words against us. That's terrible terminology, actually. But using these words to slander white people, and as you just said, you know, how can we be supremacists and separatists at the same time? How can we be supremacists when there's only white people around?
What use is being a supremacist if you're only in a country full of whites? Let's say you do believe white people are superior. What use would that be if you're only in a country full of white people? How are you going to be hurting non-whites? My question really would be, let's say white people decide to colonize another planet. Would that be oppressing? Would that be hurtful? Would that be harmful? How would that be harming anybody? According to them, it would be.
Yeah, because they have a right to live with whites.
Yeah, access to white people is a human right.
That's the whole thing.
That is the most white supremacist statement, ideology that you could possibly have, and that's the way they feel. They literally think that access to white people is a human right, and that living Mexicans living among Mexicans is somehow inhumane or something. Mm-hmm. How is that inhumane unless you think white people are superior and have some kind of moral obligation to take them in as if they're like an abandoned pet, like they're sheltered animals.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's
So
that point about, you know, that are the Japanese, are they supremacist because they want to keep Japan for the Japanese? White people have a right to a homeland. They have a right to self-determination. And the fact that any discussion about this topic is labeled as supremacy is anti-white.
Yeah, or demonized in any way.
Has inspired terrorist attacks on all the Abrahamic religions. 2015, 9 worshippers were murdered at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston. In 2018, 11 people were killed at the Tree of Life, Eitz Chaim Synagogue in Pittsburgh. And this year, 50 people were slaughtered at the Al-Noor Mosque and Linwood Islamic Center in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Yeah, we could. I can show you a thousand graves of black white people killed by blacks.
The black guy that killed all the white cops, or the shooting at the festival in Las Vegas, was it? You know, all these examples are solely anti-white. You know, they're just targeting, demonizing white people.
I mean, you just go on and on, like just like what they did in France, where they plowed into people at French holiday.
Yeah.
They shot up and tortured and bombed people at the Bataclan in Paris during a concert. They bombed a concert in Manchester. They shot up a church in Tennessee. We could just go on and on and on about all the anti-white violence going on in white countries.
Yeah.
And what they are talking about are some incidents where whites are responding to all of this in a bad way. You know, of course, we don't endorse violence or anything of the sort. These people are responding to it. These things are happening in their countries. It's not like they're going to Yemen or to India and shooting up, you know, holy temples in India or anything like that. They are doing this in white countries because of the forced diversity and the forced policies, genocidal policies that are being enforced onto white people. So, and of course, they're never going to point that out. We have to. They live in this echo chamber in a world where, you know, the whole world is white, apparently, to them. Mm-hmm. And white people are just going around mindlessly killing brown people at random.
That's the
narrative that they have. And it's totally disingenuous. Mm-hmm. It's deceptive. And, you know, it's problematic that they are doing this and not getting called out on it by other representatives in the House.
Yeah, I think that's a point, you know, to remake there. We definitely do not condone violence, but we point out the fact that censorship leads to violence. And unless they allow discussion on these issues, then the only other option is violence. Well, and that quote, I think that is the most brilliant quote, was it JFK about that peaceful revolutions?
Those who make peaceful revolution of
impossible, make violent revolution
inevitable.
That's it. Yeah, you know, that's it. So, and that's why we are so focused on terminology and talking points and making our points repeatable, so that we can get as many people having the conversation in the most simple terms of truths.
We are all about diplomacy. 100%, and we wish that the anti-white side would also, you know, be about diplomacy, but they're not. They're about being tyrannical and forcing suppression upon any dissent to their genocidal policies, and it is a recipe for a lot of bad things in the future. And the more that they put this off, the worse it's going to get. It's not going to get better. No problem ever gets better by ignoring it.
Yeah, that's like Representative McClintock said.
Mm-hmm.
In each case, the perpetrators were motivated by a belief that people perceived to be non-white.
Okay. I guess.
Perceived.
You have no problem telling white from non-white. Non-whites are the ones you treat like blameless animals. You know, the non-whites are the ones you say white people have an obligation to take care of. The non-whites are the ones you never condemn for nationalism. But would blacks be happy to know that Sherman Nadler thinks their race is just a perception?
Does he perceive that the people who did those crimes were white? Well, you know, like...
I think he does. I think that's a perception.
I'm pretty sure that's...
talk about white privilege and white supremacy, is that just a perception? Or? Yeah.
Or is that
you just, you just perceive us to be white, or are we white? Do you just perceive blacks to be black, or are they black?
Yeah, the whole hearing is based upon a perception.
Yeah, we're not really white, you know. No. Mm-mm. Yeah, because we're just
depends,
human.
Right now, humans. He's Yeah, he's not blaming white people. So white people currently don't exist for this sentence.
This is it. You know, they go through this. This is how their double standards need to be exposed. You know, they say, oh, race is a social construct, but then when it comes to defining, you know, who white people are, or white, you know, white privilege or white guilt, white, you know, hating white people, they have no problem with pointing that out. But the moment that we try to speak about this on, you know, on any level, that they say, oh, it's perceived, or, you know, it's we all bleed red, and race is a social construct. You know, it's these double standards are what need to be exposed.
Yeah, but it's a consistent, they're consistent with this, because you know, if it works towards white genocide by saying white people don't exist, then they'll say that. If it works towards white genocide by acknowledging white people exist, they'll say that. They are totally consistent about that when it's working towards white genocide. They are 100% consistent about their direction towards white genocide. Whether or not race...
they're consistently anti-white, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They never stray from that, ever.
That is the only consistency.
Exactly. There's a ton of double standards within that, but their direction and narrative towards white genocide always remains 100% consistent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whether they be African Americans, Jews, Muslims, or members of other minority communities, we're plotting to undermine the white race as part of a great replacement. The same.
See, he has no problem talking about great replacement.
Didn't want to call it white genocide. No. People might start doing their research.
That's it. Looking into it. Yep.
And he's complained about people alleging there's a plot to undermine the white race. Well, what do you think this whole hearing is about? You're trying to censor pro-whites in this very hearing. You are slandering us with charges of hate and supremacy. This hearing itself is part of the war on whites. You are proving our point.
Yep.
The people on this panel don't blame non-whites. They have no power to speak of. We blame the anti-whites, most of whom are white traitors. Some of those traitors are sitting on this committee.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. Most of them.
Yeah. By my count, all but one.
That's it. Possibly. You know, this leads to that, that we need to stay focused on the terminology here, and it goes to show how weak that term replacement is, and that's why he used it. I mean, when he read out our meme in off of the chat there, the YouTube chat, he specifically left it out. That term, white genocide, is so powerful and has so much, like you said, Ken, that you know, it would show people to research it and start to look into it. It goes to show that is the word to use when they are going away from it so hard that it needs to be hammered even more so.
Yeah, it doesn't. He's not scared to use it. It doesn't send him on the defensive, but accusing them of white genocide definitely does send them on the defense every time.
Yeah.
They will try to change the topic. They will do anything to get away from it. They hate that accusation.
So why would you want to use a term they have no problem with? Why don't you use a term they can't handle, like white genocide?
Put them on the ropes, exactly.
Libeling and slandering you, calling you a white supremacist and things like that. So why should you care about speaking the truth of a crime that they are committing? Pretty simple.
It's unfortunate, you know, that the feeling behind it, I don't know, there was some, I don't know who it was, but there was some report online about some podcaster had done a full-on report about it, about how it was, how they could see it was white genocide and that, but they just couldn't come to use that term because it just envisioned, you know, mass killings and gas chambers and, you know, whatever else. That they have, you know, identified with genocide. But that is exactly why we need to reinforce what genocide is. Yeah. And genocide by any means of in whole or in part, the intent to destroy in whole or in part. you know, assimilation is a tactic to achieve genocide, and that is why we need, you know, everyone to start using this term and charging these anti-whites with this crime.
Yeah, whether or not you use bullets, mass murder, or anything, it all leads to the same thing: less white people.
Yeah, or sterilization.
That's why the law on genocide was written the way it was, is because it's all about diminishing a group and destroying a group. Any method, period.
Any targeting of a group or a reduction of their numbers really meets the definition of genocide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. And we are being targeted.
And
it is happening only.
Clearly, this hearing shows we're being targeted.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say, well, it's so hard. It's so hard making the genocide case. Oh, it's so hard. Well,
there's a meme. You could just post a picture. Just post the picture of the law or post a link to the law. It's not that hard.
In a war, you do what has to be done. So let's say that there's a hill over there. And to win a war, you have to take that hill. So the colonel tells the captain, okay, go take that hill. And the captain says, oh, but that's so hard. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, it's just too hard. We can't take that hill. Well, so what? It doesn't matter. You got to take the hill. If we want to win the war, you got to take the hill. Take the hill.
Yeah. I mean, and these people are admitting that people already have a severe negative feeling about the term genocide, that it conjures up horrible things in their mind. So when you're proving that what is happening to white people is legally defined as genocide, you are conjuring those same kind of images that help white people towards our survival. So why not do this? Why not go around?
Exactly, because what is happening is horrible.
Right.
We are being forced to become a minority in our own homelands, and we are being forced to assimilate. It is horrible. You know, this whole program is horrible.
It's totally sick.
But the evidence is there. The evidence is there of how much the anti-whites are shutting down anything with that term. You know, that they are trying to avoid it as much as possible. You know, that this Nadler, he said replacement. I mean, right there, he said it. No worries. He had no trouble saying replacement. But trying to get him to say white genocide, which he, you know, specifically left out of that quote that he would have been handed, it would have said fight white genocide. Mm. And he specifically left it out. It just is the proof that this term is so powerful in exposing them.
Yeah, do the things that they don't want you to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do the things they want you to do.
Exactly. Don't.
Isn't that kind of obvious?
And it is a war. You know, this is exactly the analogy you just gave there, Jeff. You know, this it isn't easy. This is the hard sell. It is hard. But we have to do the hard sell. We have to make the case, because the charge, the crime, is the, you know, the whole crux of this, and we have something set out in writing in legal terms of what is happening.
And not only the crime, just the idea of them being on the defense trying to justify their position, period. That alone, even if you're not talking about a crime, having them on the defense totally changes the direction in the game.
And yeah, offense is always stronger in a propaganda war.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whoever scores the most points in most games ends up winning. And you do that through offense, not defense. And the same applies to geopolitics.
Yeah. The idea that motivated the 2011 Norwegian attacks on a Workers' Youth League summer camp, which cost 77 lives, and the attack on a Sikh temple in Milwaukee, it cost 6 lives. In the age of instant communication with worldwide reach, white nationalist groups target communities of color and religious minorities through social media platforms, some of which are well known to all Americans, and some of which operate in hidden corners of the web.
What is he talking about here? Are we plotting to target anybody?
Nope.
I mean, but he wants to conjure up this fear of the dark web, too, you know.
Again, have the discussion. You know, censorship leads to violence. Have the discussion. If you if you don't, if you fully believe that what we have to say is totally crazy and out there and has no truth to it, then take us on.
Yeah.
But if people are conspiring to commit a crime, yeah, they should be prosecuted, thrown in jail. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But saying whites have a right to exist and it's okay to be white, that's not applying to commit any crime.
No, you're denying us the right to exist or say it's okay to be white is the crime.
Yeah. He's talking about a dark conspiracy in the deep web while he's openly conspiring against
white. Hate white people, exactly, yeah.
He wants to conjure up this image of, people, skinheads, plotting to blow something up or something, I guess.
Yeah, looking for the Hollywood narrative there. Mm, yeah. They do a lot of that in this hearing.
These platforms are utilized as conduits to spread vitriolic hate messages into every home and country. Efforts by media companies to counter this surge have fallen short, and social network platforms continue to be used as ready avenues to spread dangerous white nationalist speech.
So they're trying to get the companies to do the censorship for them. Mm. But what do they mean by dangerous white nationalist speech?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. How is opposing a genocide dangerous white nationalist speech? How is that, we're not, as you said, we're not plotting to anything. We're just opposing a genocide.
The kind of thing they call dangerous white nationalist speech is it's okay to be white.
That is an example that they used.
Yeah, they literally used that example. That's dangerous white nationalist speech, inciting violence and hatred.
It is, yeah. But yet, that denial, that denying that telling people that it's not okay to be white is the crime.
In a sane world, yes.
Yeah.
But it is, of course, dangerous to any whites that want to get rid of white people because we're exposing their genocidal program, and we're deprogramming the white people that you have been gaslighting for decades.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the.
How radicalized would you have to be to support your own genocide, to support your own, disenfranchisement, to support be turned into minority statement, to be turned into a minority in a country your gene pool built. Mm-hmm. I submit that white people are radicalized right now, and we are trying to reverse that.
Mm-hmm. We are trying to break the demoralization, that this white self-hatred is sick idea, that we have been conditioned to believe, white guilt. It is what we are working to break the demoralization.
The more you're allowed to speak, the less violence you're going to have. The more you censor, the more violence you're going to get. So the House Judiciary Committee wants violence.
That's it.
We want free speech. We don't want violence.
Yeah.
Now, one of Terrence's stated reasons for his actions was censorship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They never mention that.
No, they don't, eh?
If you can't talk about this, you're going to get a lot more Christchurches.
Mm. It would be silly to think that they don't know that.
I want to reduce the number of these horrible events. The Judiciary Committee wants to increase the number of these horrible events.
Mm-hmm.
As the New Zealand attack showed, some hateful ideological rhetoric that originates in the United States is now used to inspire terror worldwide. Unfortunately, in a time when decisive leadership is needed, the president's rhetoric fans the flames with language that, whether intentional or not, may motivate and embolden white supremacist movements. We only need to look at the perpetrators of violence and hate to see the impact this rhetoric has had. For example, the New Zealand shooter declared that he supports President Trump, quote, as a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, close quote. Congress in recent years has also failed to take seriously the threat that white nationalism and hate crimes pose. Last Congress, we did not even hold hearings after the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally or after the Tree of Life synagogue shooting.
Well, I think they should have held a Charlottesville hearing. They should have indicted Governor Terry McAuliffe for violation of our constitutional rights to peaceably assembly and to free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And a committee interested in justice, as the Judicial Committee supposedly should be, would have done that.
Mm.
Maybe if there was a hearing after Charlottesville, then this incident in New Zealand wouldn't have happened. If there this hearing happened and pro-whites were allowed to have a voice and talk about issues that are concerning them and that are leading to the growth of white nationalism, maybe if that would have happened, then this incident would have never occurred.
And if a message had been sent that anybody that does violate our civil rights is going to be prosecuted, yeah.
Right.
We could have been talking about this, and Tarrant wouldn't have had an excuse to do what he did.
But what Nadler started there too, he said that, you know, he's blaming that the World Wide Web and the fact that it's worldwide, so that, you know, that these ideas which he stated there was starting in America, and so that they've gone over to New Zealand now and created this horrific event in New Zealand. Well, that's not true. I mean, this program is happening in every white country. This whole flood. I mean, if there wasn't mosques and millions of Muslims in New Zealand, it wouldn't have happened. You know, that this is happening in UK and Europe and in the USA, Australia, New Zealand. Every single white country is being forced to accept millions of immigrants, millions of non-white immigrants, and we are being forced to assimilate. And I mean, after that. After that New Zealand shooting, the Prime Minister of New Zealand went and put on a hijab, you know, in her own country. I mean, the conditioning to bowing down to this ideology of
self-hatred.
Yeah, self-hatred, political correctness, self-hatred is it. Yeah, that we must hate ourselves and uplift every other group, every other racial group, but ourselves.
Yeah. Just imagine after the Dallas shooting, if the mayor of Dallas would have donned a Klan hood or something.
Yeah. we have to understand there. We have to understand these people.
I mean, these groups have their own countries. You know, they have countries for their people. You know, why are we being forced to become minorities in our own homelands?
Yeah, and after the Charlottesville hearing, they could have had a hearing on anti-whiteism, the rising tide of anti-whiteism globally.
Mm.
They could have had a hearing on enforcing the U.S. law on genocide, 18 yep. United States Code, Section 1091. They could have held a hearing on Antifa violence, as Candace Owens suggested.
Yep.
They could hold a hearing on censorship and violation of tax-deductible status at universities. And Republicans could have held all those hearings when they held the House, and they didn't. So that shows that they're just controlled opposition with no intention of taking power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In office is not in power. Democrats don't hesitate to do every trick in the book to exercise power. So the fact that the Republicans don't, it shows they're not in power. And they have no intention of ever taking power. So we need to replace them.
Yeah.
And you need to stop giving them money. Give us the money.
That's it.
All the money you were thinking of giving to Republican candidates, just give it to us. We'll put it to good use. We'll put up, we'll buy a
billboard in Colorado.
Yeah. Yep. We'll buy a billboard in Manhattan.
That's it. Now putting out the messages that are exposing these people.
Now we see witnesses invited by the minority who openly associate with purveyors of hate. White nationalism and its proliferation online have real consequences. Americans have died because of it. I did not call this hearing so that some may promote the very messages we need to combat.
So some may promote the very messages we need to combat. Meaning you can't refute them.
Yes.
If you could combat them, you wouldn't have to censor.
That's it.
You can't let us speak. You've convicted us without even giving us a chance to make our case. So if you're somebody on the fence out there, who are you going to trust? Doesn't that make you suspicious? We want open and free discussion. They want censorship. So who's telling the truth?
Yeah.
Who's trying to hide something? What are they afraid of?
Mm. Well, that even then seems more amazing that he read out that those the meme. You know, that he read that you know, he was stating there in that little clip stating that they weren't going to give any platform to the, you know, that what they're trying to combat. Well,
you know, they might have just grabbed whatever was there at the time, because that's the way the chat works. It scrolls through and, you know,
could be, but
once it's gone.
Whoever put that in front of him, I thank them.
Yeah, I think Nadler was not expecting that.
Yeah.
I think he just read that on the fly. And
might have been blindsided, yeah.
Yeah, he was. I can almost guarantee he was. So if it was one of his aides, they're probably fired.
he inadvertently did what he didn't want to do, you know. Give our message a platform.
And he didn't give us a platform so much, but he did accidentally, inadvertently read a short meme that summed up the entire hearing extremely well.
Yeah.
That's it. So at least we got something in there.
Yeah. It did sum it up exactly. It was exactly it. You know, you're not against hate. You're not against hate. You're just anti-white.
Right. If he was against hate, that hearing would not even happened. I mean, it was all a hate hearing against whites.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Hating whites.
Later in the hearing, he was handed some of these horrible hate speech that was being typed in the chat on YouTube.
Anti-hate is a code word for anti-white. Anti-hate is a code word for anti-white.
There. Exactly. So basically, he summed up the whole hearing there.
Yeah, he made a good point there. That's probably the best thing he's
best thing he said.
In fact, he could have just banged the gavel then. And then
the only thing that made sense in the whole hearing.
You know, you got fake news, fake history, fake science, fake hearings, fake debates. Everything that they do is fake. It's mind-boggling that this is being allowed to go on, and so few people on the GOP are even calling it out. They're just going along with it, and it's absurd. And this is exactly why we call them the fake opposition. This is exactly why we don't advise listening to talk radio or much Fox News. You know, you might get a couple good sound bites from Laura Ingraham or Tucker Carlson here and there. But other than that, there's a whole lot of misdirection added on to it.
That's it. Yep.
Yep. They sound convincing while you're listening to them, but they don't give you any good ammunition you can use in the propaganda war. The leftists do.
They're just there to legitimize them.
Yeah. To placate, you know, people for temporarily.
Together, rebuke those who seek to divide us through a message of hate.
Well, you mean you were trying to divide people right here. You're trying to divide people into followers of political correctness and heretics.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also trying to divide white people from African-Americans, the Muslim and Jewish community, mm-hmm. as if these are all oppositions, that white people are in opposition to all these people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
it's not like...
That's the whole purpose of the hearing, in fact, is to divide white people from non-whites and demonize white people.
Demonize, exactly. That's it. Yeah, to hate white people, to blame white people. Well, you know.
But he's doing that out of love. That's he's doing it out of love.
Yes. Right. So it's not like we have any monopoly on divisiveness. Any political position is divisive. And anyway, these are the important... The issues that are dividing America are the important issues that we have to discuss, not censor.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't just say that America's divided. You can't just pretend it's not or try to hide it.
Yep.
It's reality.
There was a lot of that going on in this hearing is denial from the GOP and even Candace and other people there that white nationalism is a myth. And there's these people don't exist. It's all a figment of your imagination. That's what the bulk of the GOP was trying to purvey, this idea that that people like us don't exist. That, yeah, even
or
though
or nobody believes us, or we're in a tiny, tiny minority. You know, don't worry, we'll get to your, you know, multiracial utopia.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, they're not questioning any of the leftist premises.
Mm. No, they don't.
Or their goals.
Yeah, they go right along with it. And make sure that, and a lot of these speeches from the GOP was just them just saying, we're with you. Yeah. We're right with you. Lockstep, and we're going to get rid of white people that don't hate themselves. And
yeah,
we think it's just as horrible as you do. In fact, we hate them more than you do. That's basically.
Yeah, they say white nationalism is horrible, but it's not as big a problem as you're making it out to be. Yeah.
Right.
They're not saying, you know, saying it's okay to, you know, it's okay to be loyal to your own kind. Yeah.
But yet they had to hold a hearing about it. You know, they yeah. We're this tiny insignificant group that isn't having any effect, but yet they held a congressional hearing about it.
Yeah. Well, that's the GOP's point was that there shouldn't be a hearing at all because these people don't exist and they're making no headway, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And that it's full steam ahead towards white genocide via forced assimilation and mass immigration. Mm. And we shouldn't worry about it. That was basically the GOP's position.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about
there
it.
There isn't nearly as much opposition to it as you Democrats think there is. Yes.
Yeah.
Response in more detail in the future. I will say now that it appears that federal law enforcement agencies have not taken the deadly and increasing dangers posed by white nationalist hate groups as seriously as foreign terrorist threats. The Center for Investigative Reporting analyzed incidents of domestic terrorism occurring from January 2008 to December 2016. It found that there were nearly twice as many attacks perpetrated or attempted by right-wing extremists, 115, compared to those identified as Islamist domestic terrorism, 63. The report also concluded that right-wing extremist attacks were more often deadly. Although the total number of deaths associated with Islamist incidents was higher, 90, this is largely due to the 2009 mass shooting at Fort Hood in Texas, which alone resulted in 13 deaths. Wow. In fact, only...
So, I think he's jealous that white people shoot straighter, I guess. I don't know. So, do you want to talk about statistics at all? Or?
There's no point in it. I mean, all he's doing is just listing out all of the... negative effects that diversity has had. I mean, I'll just agree with them and say, yeah, diversity's created a mess. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean,
and anybody that asks us, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
It's not, we didn't create the problem. It's up to people like Nadler to finally take some accountability rather than blaming white kids for it.
13% of Islamist cases cause fatalities. By contrast, nearly a third of attacks committed by right-wing extremists involved fatalities, 79 deaths. These figures highlight the risks we face if we ignore the threats posed by white nationalist movements. To help us better understand the nature of these threats to our communities and the ways in which social media has been used to spread hate and incite violence, we have a diverse panel of witnesses before us today.
Diverse. He just said, you know, he wasn't going to let us speak, but it's a diverse panel.
Yeah, and it's all, he said...
A very diverse panel of anti-whites, yeah.
Of all non-whites. Of all, he said that it was all, the panel was all about the non-whites that have been afflicted or, you know, that had an understanding of what was this, but yet they won't allow any opposition, you know, any opposition to it, so...
The spokesman we get is a black woman named Candace Owens.
Yeah.
That was who was there to represent us. I mean, that's how fraudulent this whole thing was.
And is that the person Adler was complaining about at the beginning? That the person, the people that the other side had called, witness the other side had called, that was all hateful, you know, and divisive. Yeah, he mentioned that at the beginning.
I deny.
But we did get our token nationalist. We got a Zionist, a Jewish nationalist.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
We had a Jewish nationalist fighting for his nation, fighting for his people, telling us we can't do the same.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That, yeah.
He had make sure that everybody knows that white nationalism is evil and Zionism is pure.
Yeah, and Jewish nationalism is great. It's okay and accepted and promoted, but white nationalism is not.
That's crossing the line. You're crossing the line, white people.
Not only that, you know, Jewish nationalism in a white country is okay.
Yeah.
But white nationalism in a white country is not.
Is not.
That would be like me going to Israel and saying, yeah, it's okay for us to be white nationalists here, but you can't be Jewish nationalists here.
Oh, his whole speech, I was like, I was cracking up. It was like, what? Where are we? Like, I mean,
we're talking. That guy's quite a character.
Yeah,
they brought in quite a character.
He was, and then he was getting all upset about the fact that he got cut off. That's not fair.
Yeah, like 30 extra seconds, and
well, that's not fair.
I guess he has Tourette's, which he can't help. Fine, he's got Tourette's, but he can't help that. But he can help hating white people. He doesn't have to hate white people.
That's it.
If you like this kind of content and want it to continue, please subscribe to our channel. Also, consider making a donation by going to fightwhitegenocide.com and hitting the donate button.
All right, guys. Well, we'll chat later.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Right.
Bye. Later.